I think the cold open is the least planned part of the show doc. But this week I was working with Scott on something late at night. And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. I should put that in that should be the cold open for the podcast. Here's what I wrote. Contribute to boardroom. I have no idea what it is. I have this cold open planned out. I think it's going to be really great. Contribute to boardroom. What does that make you think of?
Well, since we're a business with systems and a
business systems, yeah.
Project manager and a lead designer. I was like, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop where you're like, Mark, you need to contribute more. Because there have been times you said that to me.
I have. I don't think that was it, though.
In the boardroom.
Yeah.
Where is the boardroom?
That's a great question. It would be Discord. What do we talk about in the boardroom?
Animal Kingdom.
Stocks?
No.
Do we need to go public? Yes.
Oh, somebody did not want a finance component in Animal Kingdom.
I still hope there is.
Got to be a louder voice in the boardroom, Jason.
Maybe that's what I meant.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we don't look ahead at the Bellatro boss's ability. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. Mark, if we weren't recording this podcast, I would be playing the game. I can't stop playing.
I overate on it while I was over at my dad's for winter break. I'm kind of all done with it.
Hearing that, I really like this game, Mark. To you, what's the craziest thing you're hearing?
In Bellatro?
Me playing it.
Oh, it's game of the year.
No.
You can't stop?
No. I want to talk about can't stop, though.
Oh, you like a one-player game.
Yeah, there it is. Single player. I'm playing a single player game, just myself. I'm just playing solitary, poker solitary. Solitaire?
Solitaire. Solitary is different.
Words.
Stay out of my episode 3.
That's a spoiler. This episode today, though, we're going to talk about, I have a misplay of the week. We're going to play a little Would You Rather, and we are going to talk about where we are with Animal Kingdom. Specifically, we're going to be talking about how we want the game to feel.
One of the things I think is important to distinguish when we talk about feel is the difference between the physical feeling of the game, the emotional or evocative component of what we want the game to make players feel, and possibly the atmosphere or the flavor, the skin of the game that we've talked about before. I think there are those three categories that we'll need to parse out a little bit to make sure that we're really clear in what we're talking about.
But before we do, today's episode is sponsored by Rebel Raptor Games. Rebel Raptor Games is an upcoming indie board game publisher focusing on making games that are perfect for kids and new players, but just as fun for seasoned gamers. Their first game, Raising Rabbits, launches on Kickstarter in March. Follow them on Instagram at rebelraptor.games or visit rebelraptor.com to join their mailing list for exclusive updates.
You've been playing a lot of games.
Yes, but me playing a lot of games means I make a lot of misplays. I think I have to preface this story a little bit with, I have not won a game on Board Game Arena yet. I didn't expect to win Splendor. And in fact, I tried a completely different strategy. Normally, as I've been playing Splendor, I've always made it a point to get every color as fast as I can. So I have like one of each. This time I looked at what the cards were on the top row, the expensive ones, the ones that give more victory points, and what the nobles were when you know, you can pull them to your favor once you get the right number of gems. I had a strategy, I had a plan. I was only going to play three colors. That was it. And I felt way behind at first, and then I caught up and I was in the lead. So we're getting to endgame. There were two cards on the table that I thought I should grab. And I thought that one of them went off a turn faster. It was worth 2 points. The other one was worth 3 points. And I was like, oh, I'm going to grab the faster one. Well, I counted wrong. It wasn't the faster one. In fact, they weren't even tied. It was the slower one. So instead of winning the game in 2 turns, I was going to win the game in 3 turns. It's fine. I'll still win, right? So I'm playing it out. I'm grabbing the pieces I need. I just have to play one more card. it's going to give me the noble and give me exactly 15 points. In Splendor, when somebody gets 15, you get to finish out your turns. But if you're the first player, you don't, because you've already taken that turn. So we're one rotation from getting back to me, and I'm so bad wins the game with exactly 15 points. Had I taken the other card, which I just miscounted, I would have won on that turn. I would have had 16 points. He would have had 15. I'm so mad. I'm so mad.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Get him next time.
One day I'm going to win a game on Board Game Arena. We actually spent last night playing a bunch of games. I'm going to talk about a couple of them later on, but it was really fun playing with Misplay.
When Jason says we, he doesn't include me in that.
You're not always fun to play games with.
It's true. I also wasn't available. We're going to talk about that later, I think, right?
We're going to talk about that right now in Would You Rather? Would You Rather? Would You Rather?
Would You Rather?
Oh, that was good. Got to use your bumpers. So we came up with three Would You Rather questions to ask each other. First one, Mark, this is for you. Would you rather lose in a game where everybody had fun, it was a great time, or win, but everybody who was playing was frustrated?
Lose and everyone had a good time.
Oh, that's nice of you.
Not close.
I think I'm in the same place as you, but
no, you're not.
As somebody who hasn't won a game in a long time, last night, I wouldn't have cared if they were frustrated.
Now, it's different when you and I play games against each other. So, would you rather lose every single game you play with me or win every single game you play against your partner?
That's a hard one. So, either always beat my partner, but lose to you.
Yep.
Or, it's essentially the other way around, right? I always beat you, but always lose to my partner?
Yes.
Whew. I can't. Well, here's what I can say. I can't always beat my partner. She will no longer want to play games with me. It's already bad enough. Like a game like Ticket to Ride, for example, we started playing that game. And then once she kind of realized it was a multiplayer game and then I would just block her routes, she's done. No part of it. So I guess I would lose to you, but we'd have fun, right? We'd have fun.
I'd have a blast.
Oh, yeah. Losing every game to you. Would you rather play a game with someone who is way too competitive or someone who doesn't pay attention and slows the game down dramatically?
Way too competitive.
Yeah?
Not close.
Tell me about these turtles that bother you.
We want our game to play in under 60 minutes.
Right.
I don't want to sit and play a 60-minute game for 4 hours.
Now I know that the thing that troll you next time we play, I would just be like, yeah, maybe I could do this. Let me think. I'm in the tank. Hold on a second.
There's a difference between being in the tank and not paying attention.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I meant, yeah, someone who just like really is like clueless.
Yeah. Someone who's playing a game and not thinking about it there are very few things that will make me flip a table. A person not paying attention while a game is happening. If you've committed to playing a game, play the game, pay attention. Even if you're not thinking about what's happening on your turn, that doesn't matter so much. But when it's your turn, you should start taking your turn.
I can't disagree with you.
Plus, you'll lose that hyper-competitive game in 45 minutes and be out early. I think you're losing your touch on the difficulty of your would-you-rathers. You must be going soft.
I toned it down for the podcast. Normally, I give Mark like two terrible choices. I mean, they're both just awful. So, yeah, we'll build up to it.
Here, I thought you were just playing with kid gloves.
Yeah, that's another way to think about it.
Where are we?
As a team, we are trying to determine how we want Animal Kingdom to feel. I think it was a good idea not to immediately jump into playtests again. I think it was a good idea to slow down and think about what we want this game to be. What are the key components that we can change? What is core and we shouldn't change? And right now, what we're trying to figure out is how we want Animal Kingdom to feel when you play it. I felt like you had like three really distinct categories that made a lot of sense when we think about feel.
Sure. This comes a little bit from the discussions that we've had in team meetings. The way that I personally think about games, and what I've read about game design, largely from the Mark Rosewater blog about creating magic. But I think about the feel of a game in terms of the physical components, which is something that I find that I think more and more about after our discussion with Leonie, the atmosphere and flavor feel of the game in terms of setting and the immersive experience, and then the feelings that the game makes you experience while you're playing. Do I get mad? Do I get frustrated? Is there a sense of anticipation? So I think it's among those three categories that we were starting to discuss where Animal Kingdom is going to fall.
This has been a really hard topic for me because I don't think I have spent any time thinking about how games make me feel. And I feel that's very different from your perspective. For me, it's always been either I like this game or I don't like this game. And I haven't put any time or energy into thinking about why don't I like it or why do I like it? I just know I like it. Let's play it. Let's do it. You know, there's a whole bunch of games that I really enjoy playing with my family. I must really love the feel of those games, but I don't stop to think about it.
I'm curious what you think about this. I think you're much more focused on the player experience in the games that you play, more so than the feel or the flavor or the components. Because when you talk about the kinds of games that you like Among Us, you like these social games, or you like the strategically oriented games where you can cut somebody off, where you do take the last resource that I need in Splendor. There's more of a strategic and or player experience component that is what drives your interest in games more so than an immersive experience.
Yeah, I think so. And I think I have a really good example for you because I told you earlier that last night was Misplay board game night. We played some games on Board Game Arena and there was such a difference between the feel of the Discord when we were playing. I played a new game called Can't Stop, which I love, by the way. Have you ever played Can't Stop?
No.
It was introduced to me last night. Essentially, there's like a mountain track and you roll dice and you are trying to move a token from the bottom of the mountain to the top by repeatedly rolling certain rolls from 2 to 12. You always make a two dice, a two six-sided die combination. I know I didn't explain it really well. It's really interesting. You can play the game pretty quickly. We played multiple games. We also played a game called Skull, which is, you know, a game I like because it's social deduction. And then we played Splendor last night. When we played Can't Stop and Skull, there was so much banter between us on Discord, responding to how the dice were rolling, rooting against each other, laughing. Same in Skulls. You would bait somebody into picking your skull. Everybody had a good laugh. Ha ha. The atmosphere on Discord was like a little party. And then we played Splendor. So hold on, Mark. I actually recorded a little bit of the audio from us playing Splendor last night that I'm going to play.
It's really quiet.
You don't hear it?
No.
That's what it sounded like. I didn't record audio, Mark. Mark was waiting for me to actually play something on my computer. That's what it sounded like. All four of us were playing Splendor, and I like Splendor a lot. You know, I really enjoy the game. I want to play it again. But the atmosphere is so different. So different. It was just four people doing their own thing. There was no conversation between us. Everybody was just taking their pieces, playing their cards. We would look and see what other people were doing, and there was no banter. It wasn't a party.
But that perfectly illustrates the difference in what you like about your games. You like these social component games where you're pitting your social deduction and bluffing versus somebody else's, but you also like these more strategically complex games. I would be willing to bet Splendor was the most complex game that you played in terms of complexity and the strategy of the game.
Yeah. So correlation between complexity and party atmosphere?
Maybe. But I want to come back to your talk about play, the atmosphere at the table.
Yeah.
Is that part of the, like, we want to consider that when we talk about the feel of Animal Kingdom, right? So what is the player atmosphere that we want to create? And I think for me, that would be more analogous to the, like, flavor, right? Because there's, you know, you're rooting against each other. You're holding your skull being like, oh, don't take this one. Where Skull sounds like it has this interesting player feeling of anticipation or anxiety or concern about, oh, am I going to pick up a skull this time? It feels like a family-friendly Russian roulette kind of in terms of the evocative content of the game. So come back to Animal Kingdom. The question then for us today becomes, how do we want Animal Kingdom to feel?
I can say that I want it to feel somewhere in the middle of that, right? I don't want splendor. I don't want to be can't stop. But somewhere in the middle of that, where you are having fun, there is strategy, you are able to, you know, look across at the person you're playing against and kind of bluff a little bit with your eye, maybe. But before we get into that, before we talk about how the team has responded to that question as well, I wanted to set a little bit of a baseline, and then we'll come back to Animal Kingdom. I made a list of games, Mark, and I just wanted to give the audience a little sense of how games feel differently, that all games have their own unique feel and vibe. So I've got a list of games, and I'm going to throw them at you, and then I want you to tell me how you feel or what the feel of that game is in less than 30 seconds. I put a game I know you like first, Spades.
Spades is like the after party game for me. It's like you sit, it's quiet and you, I don't know, it's quiet and it fits that genre.
Settlers of Catan.
Annoying. Cumbersome. Social in a way that's not socially fun.
Keep in mind, these are all his personal opinions.
He said, what does this game feel like?
Seven Wonders Duel.
Battle of Wits.
Fog of Love.
Immersive rom-com and good build of anticipation.
Among Us.
Violent and an uncomfortable way of building anticipation. Aggressive.
Your cryptid-like game, Urban Legends.
Also Battle of Wits, but a little more stealthy. Has a good sense of cat and mouse.
Speed Colors.
Playful. Spirited. Fun. I don't know. Makes me feel artsy.
D&D.
Depends on who's running the game.
I mean, that's a good answer. I mean, the feel of a D&D game does vary dramatically on who your dungeon master is, right? Yep. Game master. The people you're playing with.
Murder hobos.
I played one time with Mark. Tried to kill everybody.
Jason wants to play D&D like it's World of Warcraft. D&D and Warcraft are not the same.
Yeah. That's how he wants it to feel.
We didn't do a good job of setting our norms before.
So that was just a little bit of baseline of games that I know you like playing or games I know you don't like playing. Let's talk about Animal Kingdom and not only what you and I think the game should feel like, but also the team, because we have notes from the team that we're looking at as well.
Which aspect of feel do we want to talk about first?
I'll go with the first one I normally think of. When you say feel of the game, I go physical. So physically, I think that feel first. And then I think about the other feels.
All the feels.
All the feels. That smile crept up on you before the voice made it to the podcast. That was fun to watch.
I haven't thought much about the physical feel of this game, but I would pull out from Ryan's comments about what the game should feel like in that pieces should be moving in this game, right? Our board is centered on these voter cards that are turned face up that we're competing for by their characteristics and what's important to those voters. And it's the players competing to collect them into their base camp, right? It should be a game of a lot of motion where pieces are moving from the middle to a player, from the middle to player B, from player C back to the middle, from player C to player D. There should be the sense of motion as the players compete, taking their game actions for the pieces to come to them.
Yeah. And I should add a little bit of context. Ryan is, along with his partner, Sarah, the two people who came up with the initial concept and pitched Animal Kingdom to the Misplay. And Ryan is a childhood friend. He's been on the show in season one. He'll be on the show again at some point in season two. And I've got a lot of Ryan stories because Ryan is the first person I started gaming with. I like the idea of things moving around, for sure. The feel for me, I've spent a lot of time trying to think about, I think we're, at least obviously with playing cards, we're locked into all of the animals are cards. I keep imagining a world where I could put my hand on the elephant and it's an elephant and I get to move it. Mark is making the money sign. He's like, these things cost money. You know, it isn't even about the money to me. Eventually it will be. But right now it's not. It's how do I get the traits that the elephant has onto the elephant? You could make a stand.
Yeah, right? you'd have your figure of the animal, you'd have your square base, and then the square base accommodates for the symbols.
That's the $1 million stretch goal on Kickstarter.
This coming out of the meeting where Jason was like, we're not putting counters on cards after you play them face down because it's too expensive.
You know, so I would like to have components that we can touch and move around besides just the cards. So the traits, for example, that end up getting placed in, right now we're just doing it, you know, with a little button you click on playing cards. But if I'm playing my hippo card on you and I'm saying, well, Mark doesn't really like slow animals. You know, I saw him the other day running a race and he was trying to be the fastest. And I take the slow marker and put it in front of you, making that a physical thing that you can put in front of a player, I think is feasible. I think that's feasible. We'll have the physical cards that you can touch and move around, but I'd also like some components too.
Well, we've already found we need some kind of markers to mark hippos and hard stances. So those will become components of the game. And so we would want some consideration for what those pieces feel like and how they move in the game.
And then there's the board, you know, whether or not there'll be a board with it. So all of the animals in the center, are they just going to be in the center of somebody's table? Or do we create a little thing that they go in, you know, a little ring or some habitat?
A carousel of animals, if you will.
Yeah. You can't have a habitat, right? Because there's a shark and a lion. They can't be in the same space.
We're bending the rules of what animals can and can't do. Anything else for the physical feel of the game for where we are right now?
I think that kind of covers the physical right now, especially when all we're doing right now is digital testing.
Good point. The next category for me, I think, is the one that when you say you go to the physical feel of a game first, I go to the atmosphere, the flavor land of the game. So for me, I feel very strongly that this game should be, I don't want to call it a shouting match because I don't want people like sitting at the table yelling at each other. The game that we've pitched, we're pitching you're a political character trying to win the votes of your constituents. Like you're going to be standing up making speeches. And for me, I very much want there to be this moment in the game where I stand up and make my speech and there's like that person who disagrees with you in the back, like yelling at you or like the journalist asking you the hard-hitting questions to throw you off your game. I really want that component of players taking their stance and then being either A, having to defend that stance, or B, having that stance attacked by other players in a way that feels more that I played my hard stance card and my opponent played their hippo card. That's the atmosphere of flavor that I aspire to have in Animal Kingdom personally.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about, you know, even when we pitch it to somebody, right? We want to be able to pitch that. We want to be able to say that these things can happen because I think that makes it a much more compelling game to people. I think that pulls people in and gets them interested in the game. And it's not just, you know, I lay this card down and these things move and you lay that thing down and these things move. How are we going to do that? Give me one idea you have right now to kind of adjust what we're currently doing with the game to make that happen.
I think we've started approaching something of a solution to this with the way that we're changing the way that turn sequence works and the way that we're allowing for soft stances to change. Because now you can speak out of one side and somebody messes with you and then you speak out the other side. Or there are other proposed solutions. Like Peter's proposed a system for having debates and formation of parties, like quick formation and quick dissolution of parties, where then you get to double down on your stance or work in community with another player for a short amount of time to protect your constituents. And I think those elements would contribute to that feeling, to that atmosphere.
I want to do the, I don't know what TV game show it is. Good answer, a Family Feud. Good answer, good answer, good answer. It's a good answer. Those things are putting the game more in line with the feel that you want. And it's exciting to be moving from just, you know, these base actions to things that will be.
I also really liked the combination in my head, the combination of Peter's thoughts on the game needing to move quickly and have this like push-pull aspect And the combination of that with Colacoma's idea about you need these like making and breaking deals components, like you set someone up and you leave them out to dry. I think, again, same thing. These contribute to the way that you form and position yourself in this kind of politicking world.
I've got a good example for you, but sometimes I get a little confused. You have three categories of feeling. You have the physical, the flavor and atmosphere, and then you have the feelings, right? The feeling it invokes when you're playing the game. So I think I have a good transition here to the feelings and invoke. One of the things that we found in our initial playtests was I'm so bad repeatedly said it, even though he won, even though he beat us going first, but he repeatedly said, going first feels bad. Being the first player in a turn sequence feels bad because he would play his card that says, all of the swimming animals come to me. And so all the swimming animals, and all six of them would. Well, when the next person went, they would pull all of the swimming animals away from him, or it would happen gradually over the turn sequence. And so once everybody's taken his turn, he had six animals in front of him, and now he doesn't have any. And it was like, what a waste. And it wasn't a good feeling playing the game.
I think that is a good, I think it's a good starting point for the feelings, the realm of feelings evoked that we want to talk about. I think feels bad is kind of like, I think we had a bad player experience for that, which is a little bit different. But I think if you look at, you know, oh, like you get that rush of, ah, yes, I made this play of here comes six swimming animals. And then that just didn't stand up to the feeling of, oh man, I lost two animals. Oh man, I lost another one. Oh, I lost the last three. And I think it's a small distinction, but feels bad that I'm so bad was describing, I think, is the feels bad of a poor player experience that we need to address. But the more discrete in-game moments are the excitement of a group of constituents or voters coming to you, and the pains of the animals leaving you. Like that's the discrete within the game feeling that currently exists. And I think that's something that we have a chance to, based on the way that we design the game and the changes that we make as we continue developing it, those discrete moments in the game of what players feel are more in the evoked realm for me.
And I can say that one of the areas that we are trying to stay away from is serious politics. That is not a realm that we want to explore. I think we are moving towards this will be fun. This will be a little bit more humorous, but we do still want to be true to politics. We want to have characteristics of, you know, running for something and being elected, so that we're not just making things up. We're not just coming up with our own rules. But we don't want cards in the game where somebody goes, is this because of what happened in real life?
I think that kicks back into the flavor atmosphere, but I agree. I would say, like, for me, when I think of how you're describing it, I'm like, oh, the game should look and feel like a political cartoon.
Help me clarify still, because even though I'm here in this podcast with you and created the show doc with you and talked about the three categories of feelings, help differentiate for me this third category where it's about evoking the feeling you want somebody to have versus the feeling of all of the things in the game environment.
Let's talk about magic for a minute, because I think it does a really good job of this.
The rabbit out of a hat or the other magic?
Magic the Gathering, the card game.
Oh, I do want to figure out how to pull a rabbit out of a hat, but go on. Magic the Gathering.
When you are playing your favorite control deck.
Yes. Go on.
Tell me, as a player, who are you and how do you feel as that control player?
I feel great. I feel like I'm the boss and you're just somebody who works for me and I get to tell you what to do. You want to do this thing? Nah. Nope. Not going to allow it to happen. Or you want to do this thing? I'll let it happen right now. It's fine. I'm going to destroy it later. And I want you to feel like it doesn't even matter what you do. Like you're just playing. There's no way to win this game. It's going to go on forever. It's going to be a 30 turn game that you just can't win, because eventually you don't have, you know, the resources you need to do what you need, because I'm just operating on a different level.
So what you feel is you feel this sense of big picture planning. You feel smart. You feel in control of the game. You feel like you're a couple of steps ahead.
Yeah.
That would be the emotional content that you're feeling in the game. The corporate metaphor that you use to describe how you're feeling, I think actually it doesn't fit with Magic the Gathering, because where in the world are you in Magic? Describe the Magic the Gathering setting.
I know you want me to give me like the fantasy answer. You know, I'm, you know, this spellcaster, and I don't care about any of that. But you know that from playing Eternal with me, where I would tell you, I don't care if the cards are black and white. Just tell me what the card does.
But the fact that you can tell me that you're the fantasy spellcaster means that Magic has painted that picture in a way that you see it.
It's there, but I
doesn't matter that you don't care about
okay.
it. It's that this feature, this sense of feel does exist, which is independent of you as smart boss, calculating, controlling, you know, playing with your food kind of feeling that you have as the smart control player. That's the distinction. Did I get there?
No. No, I love the exercise. I love talking to you about it. He's looking at me right now. Is this guy for real? Is he trolling me?
I'm starting to think it's a you problem.
That's what I said. But that's what I said in the beginning. I don't think about feel. I have never really thought about it. I know it's happening internally, right? And I make decisions. I choose to play control decks because they make me feel good, but I don't stop and think about why. Does that make sense?
Yes. I don't think knowing the why matters. It's that you feel those things. The physical, emotional feeling that you have playing a control deck is that third category.
Okay. So there's three feelings. Physical feel.
Setting, environment, and atmosphere.
And then the feeling that it invokes in me.
Yes. See, he gets there.
I got it. See, I've been playing along the whole time.
Begs the question. We kind of have in Animal Kingdom, we have the feeling of excitement when animals come to us. We have the disappointment when animals leave. Do we have thoughts? Do you have thoughts about what you'd like the game to evoke from players?
I think I've answered the first two feelings, right? How I want the game to physically feel, what I want the environment of the game to feel like when you're playing. Like, we want it to feel like it's a political game. You're making decisions that feel like you're actually persuading these people to come to you and vote for you or not vote for somebody else. When we talk about how I want to feel or how I want other players to feel, I still feel like this is an area where I don't think like you do. And I think it's okay to say right now that as project manager, that I will continue to observe how people are feeling when they're playing the game, whether that's team people playing or whether that's testers playing the game, and try to capture how they're feeling and see if that aligns with, you know, how, you know, I think the game should make people feel. Because if somebody says, oh, I feel bad, like I feel terrible doing this to somebody, that's not how we want people to feel.
I actually think that's a great way to look at both player experience and the emotional response evoked in the game. I think it's hard. I think part of the reason why you struggled with having an answer is that it's hard to make someone feel something, right? I think we want to live a little more in behavior land, and we want to see what happens when not us plays this game, and then make decisions based on whether we want to continue driving in that direction or go somewhere else. Because we don't want someone to be like, ah, yes, took all the swimming animals and the climbing animals were left behind, and I feel terrible about that. That is not, again, that's not what we want. That's not how we want players to feel, as you so aptly put it. You know, I gave you a lot of grief about the difference between the feel of the game and the player experience. I do think it's worth spending a few minutes to talk about the player experience, because the question you asked the team recently was, what are the components and or mechanics of the game as is right now that we feel are inseparable from the core of the game or irreplaceable? And I think that one is a guiding question. I think that's a great guiding question for what the player experience is going to become. And I know you've been reading the book Find the Fun. How does that factor into kind of player experience?
Find the Fun is a book by Gabe Barrett. Gabe is the person behind Board Game Design Lab, one of the biggest podcasts in the space. He had a Kickstarter last year called Find the Fun. It's also a game that you can play. But the book Find the Fun just goes through the board game design process. And I was reading recently, and there's a section I really liked. Gabe had said, but when you know where you want to go, it's much easier to figure out how to get there. I think that goes back to what this first month is all about. This first month hasn't been playing the game. This first month has been figuring out what we want the feeling and the player experience to be for people. And then we go that way. Then we build that game. And you made a really good point in one of our meetings where you were describing how you wanted a soft stance to feel. And you were talking about that. And I actually just turned my head away and I looked down for a second. And I'm like, yes, that is what I want to build. That is where I want to go. That is a really good description. Explain what you were saying about soft stances.
The first build of Animal Kingdom had three actions. It had soft stances, it had play a card, and it had bank an animal. Bank an animal was a way that you would score. Play a card is you put down a card, it has an effect, probably in a huge portion of card games in some way. Soft stance is just an action you take where you say, these are the animals that I would be useful to, and those animals move for you. And soft stance, I think, is by far the most unique aspect of what we have in Animal Kingdom, and also the most interesting to play with in terms of what I think of the feeling of the game in terms of atmosphere and in terms of how we want the player experience to be. And so I came around to, well, you can't do anything. My thinking has become the game needs to revolve around the way that soft stances play. Everything else is supplementary to that because of how unique and specific soft stance is to the game.
And I said, you're right. That would be really great to incorporate. It's not there right now. Let's build to that.
But now we have a target to shoot for.
Kapow!
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
It's only a 30-minute podcast, Mark.
I meant to write an article this week about how we talked about, are we going to go to 45 minutes? And then our first episode of season two is the shortest episode we've ever released.
Was it?
It's pretty close. We've gone way off the rails.
Yeah. We got to get us back or not use any of that.
It's going to be a 20-minute podcast. I really want you to understand this.
Why couldn't you just come up with two? Two is better.
Because there are three. And you tell jokes in threes. There's the power of threes. I learned about this in high school.
Well, we do dynamics of three, which is about people. I love that. It's always two against one.
Well, look at your punchlines and your jokes. Most of them are like two lines of setup and a punchline. The power of three.